Yo, welcome back to another episode of Money Hustlers. We are back for episode Jordan plus 55. The date is October 19th, 2020, and we're still in a quarantine. What's up, guys?
We're not. Are we really?
Well, based on Lori Lightfoot, every surrounding bordering state, you have to quarantine for 14 days if you visit there.
My life is not normal yet, so no. We're not quarantine.
Of course not. Jesus.
Okay.
How fucking long has this been? It's been, what, 8 months?
Since March, February, March.
So, yeah, like 7 or 8 months.
That's just day.
Just Google Famous 55 just to bring some stats up on Jordan Plus 55.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that Robert Downey Jr. is 55 years old. When did the Iron Man come out?
The first one? Maybe?
Yeah, like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Damn, so this motherfucker is 45.
No,
if you want to talk about the greatest comeback of all time, it's probably Robert Downey Jr.
But it couldn't have been 10 years ago because that was... Like Tropic Thunder was his comeback, no?
No, Iron Man was.
That was the
first. Iron Man was huge.
That is probably
2008.
He didn't go from druggy to Iron Man. He went from druggy and kind of built it up. No.
Oh, he was a druggy.
That was his whole thing.
Huge crackhead. 2008 Iron Man came out.
As of last year, he was like consistently like 5 years in a row the highest paid actor because he's had so many fucking roles. He's
Marvel's
half a million dollars.
So heroin is the gateway drug. So
a movie nobody talks about that's like I love of his is I think it's called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Funny. It's funny as fuck. It's like he's an actor in the movie and he's shadowing a detective because he's playing an upcoming role as a detective and like they actually get into like an actual like murder and he's like his side like the sidekick. Oh, fuck, who's the sidekick? It's Val Kilmer. Who's that one Batman that nobody talks about?
Yeah, Val Kilmer.
Yeah. And my favorite quote in that movie was when they're trying to like grab a dead body from like the lake and like Robert Downey Jr. just like doesn't want to do it. And Val Kilmer was like, you know what? If you look in the dictionary and you look up the word idiot, you know what you'll fucking find? And he's like, and Robert Downey Jr. goes, a picture of me. He goes, no. The definition of the word idiot, which you fucking are. That was one of my favorite quotes, movie quotes.
Yeah, that's it's one of those subtle ones that stick in your craw forever.
In your what?
Craw.
What's a craw?
These intelligent ass motherfuckers, dude.
You guys are too smart for this podcast.
Yeah. I wish.
You guys just, do more TikToks.
Well, no one announced that Scott is here.
Scott, special guest appearance. Welcome back, Scott, to your podcast.
Yes.
Did you say special disappearance?
Special disappearance.
He is
a returning founder of the podcast.
Not a founder by any means.
You were on the first
one. How about no?
I was on the fourth or the third.
Yeah, third one. Okay. So, returning early employee.
And now we're at Jordan 55, dude. That's like 70-something.
Yeah.
78.
But, I mean, I haven't been on probably the past 25 or so.
Oh, shit.
Oh, so I just want to bring something up that I listened to a podcast. You guys might have heard of him. I've talked about him before. His name's Dan Carlin. He's been on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Don't mention competing podcasts.
No. Okay. this is a cynical and kind of a darker turn of a podcast or subject matter that I wanted to just bring up just to gauge your guys' fear level of like things that you might be the scared, like what would be the most scary situation you could ever possibly
be in. Can I first tell you what I'm most afraid of?
Sure.
Being buried alive.
Oh, actually, I talked.
That's my biggest fear.
When I went to my parents' house, my dad's talking about a book that he just read about a rescue mission about people that got covered in an avalanche.
Yeah.
And I was trying to wrap my mind about just being covered in avalanche and not being able to reach the surface. Yeah. And just, yeah, you're just
like the best of your own. Like, I don't know, like, as a kid, if I watched, like, a lot of, like, shows or movies where, like, people were burying people alive, mm-hmm. like, yeah, that whole avalanche situation or, like, an earthquake or, like, being stuck under rubble, it's, like, a combination of claustrophobia and not being able to do something about it.
Yeah, just being completely helpless. Yeah. Actually, when we went to my last Colorado trip, when we were hiking back towards our start area where our car was at, we were walking through part of the mountainside that was forest, but all the trees were dead and just knocked over. Mm-hmm. And it was probably, I don't know, a square mile of trees that were just knocked over. And they said, yeah, this was an avalanche that happened, you know, 10 years ago or something like that. I was in that moment while we were hiking, I was thinking to myself, my God, I couldn't imagine being fucking stuck in there. But anyway, the podcast was, have you guys ever heard of the USS Indianapolis in World War II?
Heard of it. Don't know much about it.
It was mentioned in Jaws towards the middle end of the movie, yeah, where the one character who owns the boat that they were trying to capture Jaws with. But it was a situation towards the end of the war where the USS Indianapolis was a destroyer or something like that that got torpedoed in the middle of the night with like 1,500 guys that were on the ship. And initially 300 guys got killed by the blast from the torpedo, but everyone else went into the water. And it was off the coast of the Philippines. And typically when people, especially when you go to the further north of the equator, when they go in the water, they tend to succumb to hypothermia because the water's so cold. But the water was so warm that these guys were able to survive for days. And what ended up happening was there was like close to 900 people or over 1,000 people that went into the water. And only like four to 500 ended up surviving. But it was a situation where had a bunch of 21-year-old guys that go into the water that were had life vests on or were just treading water this entire time, and they were getting attacked by sharks. They were in shark-infested waters. And this podcast is talking about personal accounts of guys talking about how they just watched their buddies just one by one, or in given instances, dozens of guys just get grabbed by fucking tiger sharks and bull sharks.
Were they all, was the strategy, like, as they were treading in water to, like, stay close? Because I feel like you could beat some sharks' asses if you were like 20 dudes, 30 dudes.
So,
right?
So that's part of the whole idea was portions of them were in huge groups. And typically it was a situation where the sharks would just nab a guy on the edge, people down the edges. But in other instances, it was situations where there was lone coupled dudes or just individual guys that were 100 yards away that they would just see grabbed. And Dan Carlin, who does the podcast, is talking about how this happened when they originally got torpedoes at like 12:30 in the morning. So they went into the water, and it was so dark that you can't even disseminate between the water and the sky. Like, you were just in the water, and it's so dark that you can't. There's nothing to give you a sense of direction or just an idea of what the fuck's going on, visually at least, and. He talks about throughout the days that happened that the water was so clear that you can see like 100 feet below you, and these guys are in these giant clusters, and you can just see dozens of sharks just circling underneath them.
So is that one of your fears?
Not necessarily, because I don't say I'm terrified of water, but my mental state is whenever I'm in something. Whenever I'm in a high enough water that is where there's water beneath me, my mind goes to that place is what is swimming underneath beneath me.
Yeah.
And dude, I'm just listening to this podcast and he's describing these personal hand accounts of guys just sitting there saying like they're lots of times they're getting too tired because they're just beaten down by the sun and they haven't had water or food and guys are just going to sleep and friends or shipmates are just like shaking a guy. And they shake him too hard and his body tips over and the whole bottom portion of his body's gone that had been eaten away throughout the night.
So they think he's alive, but he's like...
Yeah, the way he describes it is a lot more detailed and gives you a better idea of kind of what you're dealing with. And I just psychologically, I was putting myself in those situations. I've actually like fast-forwarded through portions of the podcast and I was like, oh my God, this is
you're putting yourself in the situation. So like, to be honest with you, I'm scared of the ocean.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't like jellyfish, weird fish. If I'm in like a lake and I feel like some weird fish going by,
yeah.
I'm not cool with that. Like, I understand that I'm in a lake that
your mind just goes to the darkest place. But, like, what the fuck is that? Yeah.
Just like when a fly flies into your ear and you're like, what the fuck is that? And you start freaking out. I don't like the ocean. I think the ocean is stupid.
Yeah.
It doesn't provide us any value. It doesn't give us any drinking water or anything.
Just a huge source of food for 80% of the world.
Bullshit.
Wait, no. I'll take the fish. The fish are great. Like, if we can make the ocean, like, shark-free.
Salt-free.
And salt-free? Yeah, salt-free. Yeah, then I'd appreciate the ocean.
All right, real quick. Where do you think the salt from the ocean comes from?
God.
My balls. Scott, why did you say that?
I wasn't expecting a good comeback with that. It actually comes from the mountains and the land that the water washes off from, the fresh lakes and the waterways.
All of it? That's why oceans are salt water?
Yeah. That's salty?
Yep.
Damn, so mountains
are disagree. Salty.
That was my science segment right there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That
was... They've had the technology for like 50 years to, like, they can diffuse the water and make it fresh. So they've had like technology for like 50 years now. They could.
Yeah.
I have mad respect for any water, especially the ocean. I have most respect for it. I'm still semi scared, just because like all these jellyfish and then Nick running into me with a jet ski, and but I got mad respect for the ocean. Like, it's a whole other creature. It has so much, like, things we don't know about it, but then at the same time, so many
well, perfect stat. We know more about space, a place that is billions upon trillions times larger.
How could you say that?
Because of the technology.
We know more about the space we understand.
No, we have literally discovered more of the universe than we have of our own.
Like, by volume, by, like, square
by volume. We have only discovered close to 2% or more, slightly more than 2% of our own oceans, and have discovered more than like 3 or 4 or
of our solar system.
Yeah.
Okay, so we, like, the universe is expansive. We don't know how big the universe
is. Of course. I mean, we have a general,
So we discovered 2% of what the 100% that we understand
is. Yeah.
So, like, you don't know, like, if there's, like, some other weird thing.
Of course. There's oceans and other planets.
I'm surprised that we haven't discovered more of the ocean, because, like, it's right here. Like,
well, part of the problem is that the, in order to discover more of the ocean, we need to have this technology to be able to withstand the pressures.
Yeah. Isn't that what James Cameron's all about? Like,
yeah, but again, they discover where miles or meters of the ocean when it's, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I did Titanic.
Crazy that, like, what's the deepest part of the ocean? A couple of miles?
Mariana Trench is, I think, it's taller or just as tall as Mount Everest. So, 8 miles
into the ocean is more, like, challenging than going into outer space, which is like essentially
it takes us like 8 minutes to drive 8 miles on the highway.
Now I'm freaking myself out because I'm just thinking about like how big space is, and it's like there's got to be an end. There has to be an end.
No, there isn't.
As of right now, based on the technology that we have, based on physics alone, is that whatever we discover is only allowed based upon how far light has traveled.
Yeah.
So, based on what we said is that light has not, even if we could see at the end, I mean, well, we just can't, is that light is the expansion of the universe is traveling faster than light can reach it. So, regardless of, until we find a way to see further, faster than light travels, we can never see.
Yeah, like our technology and our thoughts are limited based on what we know today. So
that's where that whole, you guys might have heard of the multiverse theory about how there's multiple universes in with like
is our that the idea, same is it in the same realm of like string theory?
String theory, I honestly don't know enough about string theory to be able to attribute that to the multiverse theory, but the idea is that because of physics, light only travels so far. So the idea is that we're only seeing a bubble of what actually is there because light only travels so far. Yeah. So there's potentially more than we actually see or are capable of seeing.
Does that not make you feel more, I don't want to say religious, but like religious?
I guess religious in a colloquial term, it gives me, it definitely perplexes me about the idea of like, so when I say I'm an agnostic, everyone that doesn't believe in religion wholesale says they're agnostic. That's not atheist says they're agnostic because they say, hey, we think of a higher power, but we don't think it's some, you know, artificial being that's sitting in the universe that's delegating whatever kind of is going on in the universe. But just that alone gives me leans me more towards the idea of there is something that is not necessarily in control, but kind of put all the shit into action as opposed
innate physics. Because like what we're understanding right now, what science is right now is an understanding of what has already happened.
Exactly. What we can measure, what we can.
Measure it. You're measuring it, but like we don't have an answer to how that happened.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. That was one of the coolest, things that anyone ever told me was an ex-girlfriend of mine, Angela Champion. Sorry to mention your name, Angela.
Full name.
We got, she was...
Was she a champion?
In the sex.
No, I don't
say that.
But no, she was, and this is not a testament to my intelligence, but she was the smartest girl that I've ever, she was way smarter than I was. Smartest girl I've ever dated. And we got stoned one time.
Shout out all of the other Scott girlfriends.
Yeah. we got stoned one time, and she, you guys understand the Big Bang Theory was about this idea of a single atom kind of, the explosion that happened started off from a single atom. And her idea was just like, well, what willed or what caused, well, her word was willed. What willed that atom to create the universe? And I was just like, when you're stoned, especially when you're a new stoner and you're smoking weed, that's just like, whoa, dude, what the fuck? It was really cool, kind of thought-provoking fucking thing she brought up.
Yeah, that's why I always challenge people that are like, I'm science-based and this is how everything happened, and then I'm religious-based and this is how everything happened. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something had to force the science to happen. Like, it didn't, like, there's nothing scientific that
says, yeah, why does science exist?
Why did it happen? Like, something external.
Why are we able to explain so much about our universe based on math, or everything about our universe based on fucking formulas?
Yeah, so Scott, that means we're going to church next week.
Yeah, okay. When was the last time?
That means you're a Christian now.
I went this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So did I.
What was there any type of, was it social distancing type?
Everyone's wearing masks and stuff, but
were you guys able to sit next to each other, or is there
space like group in groups? Yeah, in space
they allow you to sit with, next to your
your peeps,
next to your believers compared to the other believers.
They're all the same believers.
All tribal.
Anyway, that was great. I think that counts as a science segment.
Cool.
So,
and Sky didn't even try.
Well, Lee, you look like
a
Middle Eastern usher right now.
usher for a
as like the
usher, the singer,
AYMOND, that guy.
Yeah, I'm in a hot situation now.
Yeah,
you're looking good,
Scott. Wally, just take a fucking screenshot of yourself and put it on Instagram.
It's funny. I feel like the experience for Wally, the user experience right now, is he's looking at me and he's hearing you guys talk. And I feel like what you're seeing is me, and you're relating all of the thoughts that you're reading.
Aliens, space, religion. Being
penis out to me. So whatever everyone else is saying.
I was just looking at the posters, and I was getting lost in the posters as Scott was talking about science.
Yeah, those are Scott's posters, and those are great. I actually got comments on those. Yeah. I was on a couple calls with like Techstars folks.
Yeah,
like, oh, cool space poster. I'm like, I have no idea what they mean.
Actually, I don't know if you guys don't listen to political commentary, but there's a guy named Dave Rubin who has, you know, 1.5 million followers, whatever, on YouTube. But I got that before he did, and on his studio, he has that poster, yeah, without the Grand Tour thing on there, but it's just the poster itself. I was like, yeah, fuck you, David Rubin. I'm the original.
Fuck you, David Rubin.
Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah. Hey, can I switch topics and ask you guys what you guys are going to be for Halloween?
Ooh, I'm not going to have a lot of input on this.
Super. I need a. I'm doing a couple's costume. I need a couple though.
Who's your second part? Hoosier?
I said I need that, but my.
Or, thing, I mean, this
watching.
After this, but does anyone else have a?
That should be your fucking.
I got a really easy costume, and it's cute as. It's cute AF.
What? Okay, give me your idea, and I will steal it if you don't find a couple.
The supermarket suite. I've been watching it on Netflix.
The old version.
So you gonna go?
David Ruprecht, the goat.
It hasn't started yet, has it?
I think it started this weekend.
Leslie, host?
I'm excited for that. I actually want to see that.
Yeah, it started yesterday.
Watched all of the supermarket sweep like 3 months ago. Yeah,
it's got.
I watched that shit when I was a kid.
Yeah, that too.
That was the type of shit, you know. Everyone would say when you stayed home from school is to watch Price is Right. It was Price is Right, and then it was Supermarket fucking Sweep.
Yeah. It was like, holy shit, the Price is Right is on, right? It's like God's gift.
So when we first got this TV, I would work out here on this couch, or on this recliner, and just watch like live Supermarket Sweep every single day. And it was amazing. Drew Carey, legit.
It's such a great, like, you just advertise all the brands.
Yeah.
Great. Drew Carey.
It's product placement, like, 100. The core of it. It's like, that's how it started.
It's like, you buy this shit. We'll sell you this shit.
Yeah. Like, sure, we'll give away a $15,000 Hyundai, but you got to tell us or tell everyone that it's a Hyundai. Anyway, so your costume is Supermarket Sweep. What does that mean?
You know, at the end, with the last part where they have to, like, you know, just load up their carts with as much shit as possible, they wear those dope-ass colored, like, crew neck sweatshirts, you know, it's got like a number on it, and then the back's a Supermarket Sweep, and yeah. Then they add an unnecessarily huge white collar to the crew neck sweatshirt. So I mean, you could just easily like just get a sweatshirt that color, print out the number, put it on the sweatshirt, get a collared white collar polo, and then you can get like a Fisher Price grocery cart for like $10. Super glue all the shit into the cart and you just run around with it.
Okay, that's an aggressive costume because it's not only a costume, it's also a prop.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm talking like the mini ones, so you don't have to get like a big one. The mini, yeah. Like the mini plastic ones, like yeah. That a 2-year-old uses.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's a good idea. Dan, do you have what are you trying to be for Halloween?
I'm always really bad at this because I think of it last minute, so I don't have a specific costume.
He's got more?
No, this was mine. It's thinner glass.
Oh, I thought Daniel still had a little bit of
No DC?
Is there some in the fucking fridge?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, I don't have a costume idea. I usually think of it like the week of or the day of. Like every once in a while, like every 5 years, I'll be like, oh, this is how I'm going to be. And 1 year I was Duffman. But then the year after that, I was Duffman.
Duffman, not Duffman.
Yeah, I said Duff.
Okay, I heard Duff.
Me too.
I love, so first of all, I love that response. I wish I could use it more. I wish I was witty enough to say like, that sounds like a you problem. That's a great response to like someone saying like, I don't understand.
Shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah. I don't understand. Well, that sounds like a you problem. Yeah. All right, I disagree.
It sounds like a you problem.
No, yeah, so like without the prefix, but like the fact that you say it sounds like a you problem. Great. All right, so like, what are you gonna be for Halloween this year, man?
This is Bert. Can I have some of yours?
Yes.
You're asking me, dude. I don't know, man. I'm just like,
come on, Wally. Topical. think topical.
So, like, I think
be one, Twitter. One, be Twitter.
So one of the
just jump in a garbage can and just say I'm Twitter because I'm
so,
a garbage fire.
So one of the best costumes I thought I was like in obviously a semi adult stage was a pair of boobs.
So you and a buddy.
Yeah. So me and my buddy got two very like 4XL long white sleeve shirts from Walmart, and then we got a piece of red like fabric, and then we stitched it like we're a bra, and then we got like a, you know, one of those $2 bouncy balls that are like in the crates that you always like want to like play basketball in at Walmart, and then we like shove them in our shirts, and then we like
walked around together.
Every day we walked around together, and we're a pair of boobs.
Oh, when you said a pair of boobs, I was like, I thought you said booze.
No, pair like, of boobs.
Titties.
Titties in other forms. I felt like that was the most clever. We got so much attention.
Objection. We were asking you what you were going to do this year.
Objection. I just told you my best idea. And
that was a great idea. On the spot. What are you going to be for Halloween this year? 5, 4, 3.
A taco. 2.
A taco. Boom. Taco. It's a great idea. I'd love to see you operationalize that.
All right. It's like a gray blanket and like I'm going to wear a brown shirt and like a green. I don't know.
There you go. It works. Scott, what are you going to be for Halloween this year?
I'm not going to be anything for Halloween because I'm working 6 days that week.
That is the lamest answer ever.
Hold on. If I could pull anything off, I need a bowler hat and I would need to shave my beard and leave my mustache.
A bowler hat?
Yes.
Like for bowlers don't wear hats.
This is a testament to your
like bowlers, like
lack of culture.
UK, bro.
UK, okay.
Yeah, a bowler hat was the round hats, like a fedora with a round head.
Okay, a hat.
UK, bro.
Bowler hat.
A hat, okay.
Well, I mean, that's a deeper descriptor. But it'd be
deeper.
And the only reason why I'm saying this
descriptor.
The only reason I'm saying this is because I heard someone talk. They were talking about it on the news today because the movie's coming out soon.
Real news or fake news?
I mean, it was in the mainstream media news. I don't know what the fuck it was. Good Morning America or some shit.
Okay.
But H.H. Holmes, he was probably the most notorious Chicago killer outside of John Wayne Gacy. No, he's probably bigger than John Wayne Gacy because he's got a higher body count.
So you want to be a murderer for Halloween?
Well, no, that's probably that would be the cheapest. I would have to wear my black suit and just get a bowler hat and then just, well, shave my beard and keep my mustache. But
how much do you value your beard? At least $1,000.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah, like if I gave you $1,000, would you shave your beard and not grow it for a year?
No, God no.
Yeah.
You'd have to give me $10,000.
Yeah, please. Exactly. So you're spending $1,000 on a fucking costume.
Yeah.
That's a good costume.
Yeah.
So let me share my costume.
What the fuck
was
that?
No,
did you just see some pop?
Yeah, it was like someone got bubble gum or some shit.
It's probably an ice cube. So 2 years ago, I was Bob Ross, and Ashley was the painting. She's a fucking piece of art.
Oh. Ashley.
Last year we were. Claire and Brad, what's his last name? Brad from Bon Appetit.
So I want to talk about before you were a couple.
Okay, well let me tell my couple costumes that we'll talk about before. Because I was a buffalo. I was a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Danny should be a fucking buffalo.
I was right a here. Fucking buffalo, dude.
I was buffalo. We're talking about the
who are you
most
buffalo?
Recent ones. So
a big potato.
It was Claire Saffitz and Brad. I forget his last name. From Bon Appetit. This year, I'm planning on being ranch and pizza because it's the perfect pair. So I'll dress up as ranch.
Domino's, sure.
Yeah, no, I'll dress up as ranch. Actually, we'll dress up as pizza. I think it's a great costume.
I'm
fine with being pizza.
Because you love ranch and you love Ashley.
That's true. That's true. Damn, you just fucking you just flipped the script, my guy.
You ruined it.
You ruined it. But anyway, previously on an episode of Monday Night Hustlers, as they say.
As they say.
So at Western, I was a buffalo after trying to be a baked potato. Well, you might remember this. Do you remember when we went out for Halloween at Western and I tried to be a baked potato?
I do. I just said that like 2 minutes ago. You were a baked potato.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to be a baked potato.
And then you became a buffalo.
So how I tried to become a baked potato was I wrapped a bunch of like bed sheets around me. Then I tried to wrap aluminum foil around me.
Yep.
As soon as I started moving, the aluminum foil crumbled and fell apart.
So what are these trends here? Nick was trying to be a baked potato, a pickle, pizza, ranch.
I like food, yeah. So anyway.
You were Googling all this stuff. I remember trying to figure out a costume.
Whether it could be a buffalo or a fucking pickle.
No, and then Dave was he'd probably get canceled, but he was a Native American. And he was hunting Nick.
At the time, he was an Indian.
Yeah.
Now he's an Indian American.
It's canceled.
Daniel's such a sick fuck.
Dude, the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada almost got canceled for his Aladdin costume like 15 years ago.
To be fair, he did blackface, right?
That guy. He didn't just do it once. He had done it. There's like recorded instances of him doing it dozens of times where he would cover himself in like some type of paint or whatever skincare product he could put on himself to be. He was trying to be Indian. It was never officially blackface in the sense he was trying to be American.
What's wrong with trying to be somebody else during Halloween?
Well, I'm all for it. Yeah, I mean, I'm on the side of that. But
yeah, we can't right now.
But we can't.
I mean, when Dave Chappelle on the Chappelle Show used to like, dress up as a white person, you do whiteface. That shit would be funny as hell.
Not even just that. Like, if it is like honestly coming from a face of comedy for me, then I am not bothered by it. But if people are doing it to denigrate, obviously the culture, the race that they're trying to emphasize, then sure.
That's the whole thing. Like, if it's framed in comedy, then it should be.
Like everyone was talking about, like Jimmy Kimmel when he dressed up as Shaq and did blackface. Like, listen. You know, I understand why people are insensitive to that whole idea, but he's not doing it to try to make fun of black people as a whole, but he's just doing it to try to represent
Shaq.
Yeah, exactly.
Make fun of Shaq.
So again, there's other people that have nuance about it and why I understand the history of blackface and why it's insensitive, but comedy for me is like, it's the last bastion of free speech where we're allowed to make fun of white people, Hispanics, Asians, blacks, whatever the case may be. As long as you're doing it to get a laugh and understand that it's just in jest, then I allow it, but I'm not black.
So. You allow it? Thank you, Scott.
All right, well.
As a white man allow it? No, I'm kidding.
Until we get a Joe Will black guy over here, we really don't have any fucking...
We're not going to talk about it. Anyway, moving on to the next very important topic. How are you guys feeling about 5G outside of the fact that it's causing coronavirus? Are you guys excited for faster phones? Or you guys really don't give a shit because phones are as fast as they need to be right now?
Yes, I'm in that camp. I'm not a tech savvy person, and I obviously have not researched 5G and the benefits outside of the speed that it provides. So for me, I really don't.
5G is just a control. I feel like now it's a control method.
Explain.
So like today, or not today, but last week I ordered a car part and I got a notification.
On 5G?
No. I got a notification saying, hey, your order has been accepted. It's going to be drop shipped or something. And I'm like, drop shipped? Okay, that was the first red flag. And then I'm like, okay. So I waited 2 days to see my shipping details. Didn't come, so I messaged the organization that I bought it from. They're like, oh, we're gonna get the details. All right, 2 days pass by. I'm like, where are the details? And they're like, oh, you know, it's worth the wait, the support staff was telling me. And then I get a notification that it's gonna take 4 weeks to get here. And I was
talking about the experience.
Yeah, so like I was pissed, right? Like I was like, all right, I don't wanna wait that long. Like I can buy something for $20 more somewhere else and get it within a week, you know? And I was like frustrated because it's taking so long. And then you made me realize, like, you're used to Amazon. You're used to Amazon shipping you something the next day, if not the day after. And it like sets this expectation. So when you get 4G or 3G, 4G, whatever, now it's 5G, like you're going to get set to this expectation. And then the time it takes, like, a second for a page to load because you're on 4G instead of 5G, then you're like, what WTF, so, you know, like
that's a really great point because it talks to the expectation setting that corporations and everyone else does. We grew up in an era where 2G was amazing. Like the first iPhone, the first text
message.
2G? Yeah, 2G.
Like what? 0.5G?
That was us. So like, listen, we probably had an iPhone 3G. We had an iPhone.
It wasn't even us. It was like before us.
But no, but like, I remember having an iPhone 3G or an iPhone, like that type of level of phone, right? Or like a Palm, whatever the fuck it was at the time. And I'm like, all right, great. I get to check into my email and it takes 20 seconds for my email to load. But now, if I don't get my email in the second I open up the application,
keep hitting the refresh button.
I'm pissed.
Yeah.
So, like, is it like speaking of 5G, like, are they solving a problem or are they creating a new one?
They're creating a new one for sure, 100%. Okay. Like, no one needs information within fractions of a second. But obviously, technology is building up to that.
I think the companies are driving the desire for this. Like, I want to download a video in 14 milliseconds.
I think it's more of a reason to pay what you're paying for your data.
Yeah, but once they get you to that point, you can't go back. Like, you're used to 5G, you cannot go back to LTE or 3G.
But, you can't go back faster can you get? Like, how much
you start getting into quantum computing, man? I mean, well, great. I understand. No,
I'm talking consumer level, like usages.
But
I mean, fraction of seconds. Like, listen, Scott, quantum computing is going to literally be fucking instant.
If you had to wait like 4 minutes for a YouTube video to fully load, would you still watch those YouTube videos?
How long is the video?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
At this point, it doesn't even fucking matter. I remember, like you said, I remember outside of phones. I mean, we all remember 56K modems. I mean, you know, you have to take out your phone jack and plug your fucking
It took me like 3 hours to do a single song.
And I remember having an
or the photos, like literally going to the pixels.
So that's what I'm getting at is I remember I think it was when I was in eighth grade or maybe a freshman in high school. We still had the computer that my parents had bought us when I was maybe 8, 9 years old.
Yeah.
So when I get into be 13, 14, 15 years old, and we're still using 56K modem on top of the old computer that we have, and I'm supposed to be doing research on the internet and just loading my email, like Nick was saying, would take 4 or 5 minutes. Just getting a page to show up of information I'm trying to read to see if it validates or is worth my time to read was like, you know, I have to do a 5-page paper or 4-page paper in grade school or high school, and I'm sitting here, and it takes me fucking 5 minutes just to be able to load an entire screen of information that I have to disseminate, whether it's worth my time, was just fucking nightmarish.
But, like, now we're at a point, so 4G compared to 5G, like, now we're at a point where it's, like, instant, fractions of a second to maybe a second. Like, in terms of human capabilities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and that's what's leading to this whole like
problem in our society of instant gratification all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
And I see like the difference between me and like my Rachel's sisters.
Uh-huh.
Like they just view everything differently than I view it. And it might be small things, but it's just like, holy crap, like breathe a little bit, you know? And a portion of them are already taking a step back in terms of like, I need some time to myself before X, Y, and Z happens. Like I already see it in like Rachel's sisters that are 10 years younger than me, like saying, I don't care. I just want to enjoy my time.
Yeah. You know?
Because they like, since they were born, it was like almost instant. Like since they were able to like grasp computers and how they function and like use it as a child, if not teenagers now, like they're viewing their time as more valuable in a more personal aspect compared to like a more functional aspect.
What's personal versus functional?
Real quick, but for me, I think it comes more, what Nick was saying before is that it becomes more of a situation is that they've, like, I don't want to say spoiled because spoiled is, it's a consequence of the environment, we're living in now.
For sure.
And for me, the huge point is, like you were kind of talking about, is like breathe. My sister and my brothers, they have kids. I have 8 nieces and nephews, and all 3 of my siblings are completely against giving them any type of access to technology, phones, outside of the need for school. My nephew now, Ryan, is 10. All his kids in school have cell phones. You know, there's a couple of kids that don't.
And they don't?
And my sister's absolutely opposed to that. Until they get to the age of maybe, and I haven't discussed with her about where the threshold is for them. And so going back, I went to go see my mom last or 2 weekends ago because my brothers and sisters went on vacation to Boston and my mom was watching all 8 kids and Ryan had to do Zoom stuff for school and he knows how to operate a Mac like it's second nature to him.
Yeah.
I would never have approached. I couldn't even imagine being his age and being able to, you know, navigate technology.
You're aging yourself.
Exactly. And, but she's just like, it's strictly for school. He does not spend any time on the outside of school. He spends no time on a computer whatsoever. He's allowed to play his video games as long as he's got a dedicated time that he can play video games. And after that, everything is either you read books or you interact with your siblings. There's no time there's no killing time surfing the internet or going on YouTube and watching fucking.
Yeah. So the threshold there is like, once you become 16, 17, like you're like, semi-approaching adult and like you're realizing your decisions.
But so much of it is that kids are, I mean, the generations after us, like you said, that are used to this kind of technology are being so disassociated with real life. They're not, and I've talked to your brother about this. This is like, I could sit here and watch TV or play video games or kill time doing whatever the fuck I want to do to kill time with. And when I go, let's say I'm playing video games and I have a 5-minute window between the next game I'm going to play is happening, I'll go take a piss. And just to go for a 30-second piss, I'll bring my phone with me and open YouTube or listen to a song or watch Twitter or open Twitter and read an article while I'm taking a piss. And that comes to that has so many tendrils that reach out to your real life that you don't even think does is that I can't even spend time by myself just with my own thoughts or a load screen on the game that I'm playing or jumping from one TV show to another that I'm watching on Netflix. And that is a testament to what we're just I feel like we're less human than we were 20 years ago.
100%. Yeah.
I feel like it just has so many overarching.
I agree with you. Like, and I see that because one of Rachel's sisters are under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets pissed off because she can't use Zelle or Venmo because you have to be 18 and then like send money. Mm. And she's always someone, what the fuck? Like, I'm just trying to send like XYZ money because like that's how everyone sends money. But they have to be the age of 18 to send that kind of money. So it's like, why can't I do this? You know, like, and it's like, I have to go to a bank and they can't allow me to do X, Y, and Z because I'm not
the age. Yeah, go to a fucking bank and get cash.
Yeah. So that happened when her sister tried buying a car. And I'm just like, so they were, like, semi-relied on me to look for a car for them. And
as you did for me. Thank you.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, pull the cash out. Because I knew the time it takes to pull a couple $1,000s out of your account. Like, you know, and they try to go to the bank and they're like, oh, you know, let me get $3,000 out of the account to buy a car. And they're like, nope, your parent, your guardian isn't here. You know, like you can't do that. And it was super frustrating for her. And I'm just like, this is exactly why. Like, I understood it. Like, but this is exactly why, like, I asked you to pull the money out before I, like, go look for a car.
So you understand, yeah, the...
Yeah, like...
significance and the nuance of all, like, everyday life.
I mean, and it's insane because in 10 years from now, I think the age of money movement...
Yeah.
It's going to drop an age. Like, you know, it's like...
Yeah. I'd love for you to do a video and ask them to write a check. See, do they know how to write a check?
They don't need to learn how to do that.
No, but of course they don't. But I'm just saying is that, I mean, that was something that is
so
antiquated now.
I literally, when I first wrote my check, my first check, I had to figure out, like, I Googled.
How to write a check, yeah.
What do I put in this spot? What do I put in this spot?
So Rachel's sister bought a car, right? And I'm like, you're going to need to buy tires for this car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I don't think it's safe. Like, we bought a cheap car,
yeah,
and it didn't have the perfect tires on it, right? So I'm like, we need to buy tires for this car, yada, yada. And she's like, oh, okay. And it took her like 5 days to get the cash to me, or like she ended up writing a check, and then she ended up asking Rachel, like, how do I do this?
Yeah.
Because she didn't understand, like, I never wrote a check. So the funny part was, like, she couldn't withdraw the cash because she was underage, but she could write a check, which was just, like, I don't know. To me, it was, like, frustrating because, like, it's the same fucking thing besides a couple of days,
yeah,
which I didn't care, but, like, I was like, this is
why. Which is funny because it bypasses the need to fucking verify whether there's an adult that's a
like. So we're at the point where, like, we understand that it takes a couple of days for funds to settle or funds to move or things like that, because we've been used to it. And she was like, "What the fuck? Like, why can't I do this like now?"
On a separate note, because you guys deal with banks and all the time, the technology that's involved in that kind of stuff. Do you see a point? So. Is the reason why money takes time to transfer accounts strictly a security issue, or is it more of a processing issue?
No, it's not a security issue. It is a antiquated.
I love that word.
Transfer issue. So, like, right now, an ACH, when you transfer money, so ACH is done by.
Your ACH, bank, what is an ACH for the
listeners? Automated clearinghouse. Or automated?
Yeah.
Yeah. So ACH is like how you regularly transfer money.
Okay.
There's same day ACH, which is an advanced version of that, but ACH usually is like bank says transfer this money. It gets sent to an automated clearinghouse. The automated clearinghouse says, all right, this bank said we need to transfer money. Then we need to talk to the bank that is transferring money to. Hey, this bank, you're going to be receiving this money. Are you cool with that? Yeah, okay. And that's why it takes 1 to 2 days to transfer money. So when you're on Venmo and you do an instant deposit, that same day ACH, which is an accelerated version of that, But like blockchain, which everyone's talking about all the time, and which is like based off crypto, is like, that's like instant, like more instant than it is right now, because right now it's instant, but it still takes a couple seconds to process. But if we're using blockchain, it is literally instant. You yeah. press approve, like 0 seconds before, like 0 seconds between that button and press, it's approved.
And is the reasoning behind that is because blockchain is secure?
No, so the banking industry hasn't accepted blockchain as a...
It's a process.
Yeah, it hasn't accepted blockchain as the go-to thing to do
mm-hmm.
Because they're still using the automated clearinghouse. So, ACH. So, more banks are moving toward that, and that will be the new normal.
I think it will just take time. Like, same-day ACH, I just think it's technology moving faster in terms of, like, they have the funds, we're going to transfer the funds. Yeah, yeah. And we're just going to make it, like, technically
insane. Yeah, you also have to, like, think about the edge cases, like, with ACH, right? So, like, I say I'm going to transfer something. It takes a day or so. I change my mind 4 seconds after I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens then? Like, it's in this fucking, process where, like, oh, shit, what's going to happen?
Some type of window.
And there's regulations, but with blockchain, like, you're presenting the user, like, listen, this is instant. You cannot change it. It cannot... Like, this is your approval.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, it's never been like that where, like, you press a button on your phone and you're transferring hundreds of millions. Like, you can transfer hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right? One really interesting thing in terms of, like, Zelle. So, Zelle, very different from Venmo. Venmo is, like, an outside party. Zelle is an internal party to the banks.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I found that out recently.
So, nice. Like, one very interesting with Zelle is, like, instead of, like, let's say you have Chase, I have PNC, and you send me money. So rather than saying, hey, we're going to send money from Chase to PNC, it says, hey, PNC has this balance, Chase has this balance. And at the end of the month, let's say it's $32 million of transfers, because there's like, they work at such a high volume. It's like, Chase, you owe us $32 million and PNC, like, give us the money. They just do it at the end of the month.
Mm.
So like, it's like a one transfer, like each month. Like, so like, it's instant to you, but to the bank, it's like, we hold the funds until we realize like who owes like what funds and then the funds move.
All right, time out here. For the next 5 minutes, I want Waleed to talk straight. We're not going to talk for the next 5 minutes.
NASA just got approved to put 4G on the moon. Exciting stuff there, because we're going to start civilization, migrating civilization there soon.
Yes, Waleed. Five minutes of content. Go.
The new iPhone event was very underwhelming, as expected. All they did was suck their own dick about 5G. 5G is really not ready, but that's really all they had to brag about. Oh, and also their stupid fucking magnets, so they can get rid of charging ports in the next iteration of iPhones. They claim to be saving. They claim to be eco-friendly now because they're getting rid of chargers or whatever and headphones in their iPhone boxes, but essentially they're just not, because they're just making you buy it separately. So they're still mining for harmful materials, ruining our planet. Apple's a terrible corporation. They need to go away because they're not that good anymore. Shout out Steve Jobs, RIP, rest in power. What else? Dunkin' Donuts has a weird alien commercial. I don't like it. It creeps me out.
Yeah, what's this alien commercial about?
I have no idea. They're just drinking Dunkin' coffee cups in space. Shout out space.
Shout out to space.
Elon Musk. Shout out Elon Musk.
I love that man.
Really? Why?
Making the money, that's why.
No, just because in a world where we're constantly talking about advancement of technology and bettering human condition and just the world as a whole, I think his vision is his vision's not new, but he's the first person that's trying to implement it.
He's doubling down on it, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm all about that kind of stuff. Whether, right. I mean, oh, sorry. Yeah,
while you continue.
What's the second? Oh, that's not really relevant, but I'm still trying to complete my first ever audiobook. I have 5 hours left on Tim Grover's Relentless book. He's the guy who trained Michael Jordan. So yeah, I'm still trying to power through that. It's been, I don't know, probably 6 months since I had the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I've got
the podcast over with. I got a book that you might like that's on the
if it took him 6 months to go through a 5 hour book, come on, you know?
Well, no, this is it's a game.
I'm not done with this book yet. I still have 5 hours to go.
How long is
it? On that pace, it'll take me 3 more years to finish.
Listening to books at every opportunity that you had.
No.
I mean,
what do you listen to?
Books are so boring.
Okay.
Well, what if I told you that I have a book lined up that is on the same line of Game of Thrones? Would you listen to that quickly?
Is the voice actor? Is he or she? Are they?
Does a wonderful job of emphasizing different voices with his own voice, male, female, different accents, all that kind of stuff.
So can I give all of you audiobook listeners a pointer? Don't listen to fiction on audio.
I'm not listening to fiction.
Read that.
I'm not listening to fiction.
I know, I'm just saying, like, fiction is meant to be read because it's your voice that's creating the imagination. Like, if you're listening to nonfiction, it doesn't matter how you're reading it. It's just nonfiction. Like, I don't care who's talking it. About it, as long as you have an engaging voice, I'll listen to it. But fiction, you want to read personally because that's your imagination creating what the author meant for you to create.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Engaging yet? There's no engaging. Well, the books that I've come across, no engaging voices.
I will disagree in the sense.
Shout out, Dan.
I'll disagree because I originally thought that. I was thinking to myself, you know, like you said, with fiction, yeah. The idea is to dredge up the ideas and the fantasy of that fiction in your own mind. But I don't know who was it that I listened to that talked about it, that one of the reasons why audiobooks I think are so engaging is the fact that listening to someone talk or listening to a story is easier for people than reading something.
Definitely easier.
So for me, oral history is so much older than written history is. And to be able to listen to somebody tell a story well is just
as satisfactory. You're talking about a historical piece.
No. I mean, most of oral history is not historical.
You said oral history is not historical.
It is.
That's contradictory.
How?
Because you said oral history.
Okay.
It's not historical.
Okay. Well, the oral history of Jesus Christ was not necessarily historical. It was something that had engagements that were, or details that were conjured up by the orator.
You're saying oral history. You're saying the oral story, maybe, is not historical.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So oral, yeah. Yeah. Okay. History was the detail there that we're fighting over. But so oral stories, whether they be fiction or real, for me, can oftentimes be more engaging because it's easier to retain the information because you're not actively trying to disseminate the details of the sentences that you're reading or the paragraphs that you're reading. Whereas if you're just trying to listen, granted, if you're doing something while you're listening to it, deviates or dilutes what you're trying to listen to. But if you have somebody that's good at speaking properly, that's why Obama was such a good orator. Yeah. He was able to use the language and
speak well. He was a great speaker. Like historical content, like nonfiction, like I 100% agree with you, where it's better to listen to than to imagine, because when you imagine, it's your own imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But strictly fiction, like a story that has never happened, wouldn't you rather create your own like narrative and your own story behind it?
Why do you watch movies?
Because they're I mean, most of them are fiction.
But someone's telling you the story.
Right, because they're fiction. Like, I'll listen to a documentary, and I'll watch a documentary, but I'll understand that
it's not all true. Your favorite movie, iRobot, was a visual and
100%. So first of all, iRobot, 100% real, 100% the future, 100% the best movie out there.
Okay.
100%.
So you can't say 100%, obviously. secondarily, there was a character specifically that you engage with because of the person that's impersonating
that character. Right, but that's a fiction movie, yeah.
Okay, well, but you, there's an iRobot book that you could have read, but you chose to watch the movie.
I will always go for the either audio version or movie version of a fiction thing.
Well, you just said that we should read the fiction that we want to engage with.
Yeah, you're right. I just contradicted myself. I just contradicted myself, so I'm done.
I agree to a certain level.
Disagree.
I guess I was just thinking about fiction in another sense.
Yeah, why the fuck have you not? I'm sorry to change course, because Daniel just said I disagree. Where are these? How far along are you on the I disagree T-shirts? Because I will definitely buy one.
Oh, did you get a sticker? You got your sticker, right?
No, I never got a sticker. One of the founders, apparently.
I sent you a bunch of stickers. Yeah.
Respect. Fuck you.
No, you're not getting a sticker. Yeah, plenty of them.
You got a sticker, right, Waleed?
Nope.
I disagree. Dan, what the fuck, man? I sent you a bunch of stickers. You didn't send them out?
You're supposed to send me the mailing addresses, but in the reality,
I was about to say, I would not say, hey,
right at the time we were talking about this, I disagree, when it was becoming a big contentious issue, Sticker Mule sent out an offer, like, get 50 stickers for $9. I'm like, this is a great opportunity to sign it with a different email.
That's a great gift, period.
And order a bunch of stickers. And didn't we do like an Instagram giveaway for this? Or wasn't it the I Disagree stickers, was it?
No, we did a poll. We asked if anybody wanted these, and they're like, hell yes, we'd buy it.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of buying things, let's talk about monetizing this podcast. So I'm thinking, Dan just bought the Two Bears, One Cave, live podcast. I think we should sell a live podcast.
What's a live podcast?
It means people that want to listen pay $10. We set up a camera and we do the podcast live.
Oh, you want to see that?
So, well, if we're going to talk about this, what is the average viewership of this podcast at this point? Has it gotten any better?
Like 20,000
listeners? Is that where we're at, Raleigh?
Just about.
Okay, well, we're just going to play fucking make-believe here.
We're just going to do make-believe here. I mean, we have dozens and dozens of listeners, for sure.
I mean, that's respectable.
We have a loyal audience. That's something money can't buy.
Followers aren't the same as listeners.
Right.
Anyway, I have one last topic, but let's get to that topic. So I want to talk about, Waleed, your productivity over the last 2 weeks. All right. You swinging your buddies?
Yeah.
What are you doing to make sure that you're continuing to be productive over the last 2 weeks?
Cocaine.
That's one solution.
Productive what? At just my job?
Job, life, like productivity goes beyond job.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm working and still on my Espanole grind.
Well, based on how you said Espanola, I'm seeing it's not going well.
Teach us a sentence.
Productivity, like, what do you feel good about? Like, right now, I feel like you're not productive. You don't look productive right now. Like, what are you doing to be productive?
What am I doing to be productive? I mean, that's just like a loaded...
It's not like are you waking up early? Are you eating the right things? Are you talking to the right people? Are you setting yourself up for, like...
Intervention? That's what this is? This attack on me?
No, it's not an attack on you. Like, I'll answer the same question.
I'll have a response to that once you're done.
I'll answer the same question, but, like, what are you doing? Like, you're waking up, you're doing the same thing every fucking day, because everyone is. What are you doing to be productive? You could say your walks. You could say your fucking whatever. But, like, how are you keeping yourself accountable to be productive? Not only in work, but also as a human being.
Yeah, so that's what I want to say. What are you measuring your productivity by? Is it being more productive at work? Is it more pursuing activities or hobbies outside of work? Or is it just kind of a general, just feeling a level of pursuit in all facets of your life that you're trying to accomplish?
I'm not really measuring, like, my productivity, so... I'm just doing what I do day in and day out, and that's be the best I can be.
Okay, so I mean,
okay, wait. First of all, I'm gonna challenge you on that non-answer. So, like, this isn't a CNN fucking interview. Give me a legit fucking answer.
Not a CNN interview.
Ben. So, like, what are you doing to, like, keep yourself accountable? Like, dude, what time are you waking up every morning?
Shit, I don't know. Like, sometimes 6, sometimes 7, sometimes 8, sometimes 9.
There's zero fucking consistency there. What are you doing at the end of the day to make sure that you've accounted for the things you needed to get done that day? Like, what are you doing? Are you reviewing what you did that day? Are you, like, trying to make sure that, hey, I had a good day today, or hey, I had a bad day today?
No.
There's no review, okay. So.
There's no self-reflection.
Waleed, how do you know you're progressing? And listen, I'm not trying to send you a loaded question, because I'm struggling with the same thing. How are you measuring that you're progressing in your career, in your life, in your personal life, all that stuff, in your health?
I don't know.
Apple Watch. He doesn't have one.
I don't do gadgets. I do intuition. That's how I measure myself. Intuition.
You and the other four witches in Chicago measured off intuition.
Ooh.
Witch. What are the witches?
Saying, like, that's how witches do things.
You're a bitchy witch.
I'm a goddamn gut guy. I gut things, okay?
Wizard, yeah, sure, whatever.
I do things by guts. If I feel in my guts it's right, then I do it. If I feel it needs change, then I change it.
So do you feel you need change, or are you
good question.
Validated good based question. On everything that you're doing now? I mean, are you fulfilled with your day-to-day, or is there something that's missing that you feel like you need some other level of engagement that will fill that void?
I mean...
Real quick, I just want to acknowledge that I didn't say the word like once. Thank you.
Appreciate you. That's a good call.
Could always use a lot more human interaction, but it is what it is, you know? People got their lives that they're
doing too. That's an external stimulus.
What the fuck? I'm just.
Are you relying on that? I mean, are you supposed to rely on that?
Yeah, you should. Humans crave contact.
Yes. Okay.
Go, Nick, be in your apartment by yourself. Tell Scott to leave and Dan to leave and be like that for 6 months.
I am that person 4 out of the 5 days of the week.
No, you're not.
I'm literally, as of late, I don't come home until 8 o'clock.
And I've tried to make changes, and now I'm going into the office 1 or 2 days a week. Like the office where you have to wear a mask on your face every single day. Or the entire time.
I don't know, God forbid you follow CDC guidelines.
But like while you're working, like I know Scott, you have to wear it all the time, yeah. And I apologize for.
No, I'm done. You don't have to apologize. I'm just making a quick joke.
But like, I hate it. Like I don't.
No, it sucks, dude. Yeah. It fucking blows. I mean, I have patients that I had a patient today that has coronavirus. She's like, oh, I don't want to wear a mask. I'm like, motherfucker, you have a disease that everybody in this country is staying home for. The least you could do is keep the mask on for 3 hours while you're in this goddamn room. Right, since Wally's not going to follow through with anything on that, something I will say that I am I'm going to try to stick to, and going back to what Nick was saying, is that this what's going on with coronavirus, everyone's kind of stuck indoors and stuck in this monotonous rigmarole, if that's a proper word.
That's a great word.
I have, will fully admit that since I got a second job last year, the goal was to save up enough money over this next year to possibly buy this 3 flat that I'm living in. And in the time that I've been doing this, all I've been doing is working and just smoking weed to fill the time, the spare time that I have. And it is, I enjoyed it for the first 6 months or so, maybe less than that, but after that, it's been become a habit, and have relied on any spare time that I have just to smoke weed so that I don't have to spend time with myself and pursue any extracurricular activities or passions or anything. So
Scott, can I stop you there? Yeah. What can I do to keep you accountable?
Honestly, for me,
I know it's a
right now
thing.
For the immediate. It's there's not very much you can do because it's a personal struggle. When it gets past like a month, so for the listeners, today is the first day that I have gone a day or maybe multiple days without smoking weed, but outside of that, I pretty much smoke weed every single day of my life this past year. So as of right now, I'm trying to stick to a goal of not smoking weed for as long as I can, and I know. So to deviate, I, for the longest time, was going to the gym 4 or 5 days a week. And since I got COVID, since we moved here and I got COVID back in April, I haven't gone to the gym. I've gone to the gym maybe 24 times in the span of 8 months. When I was going to the gym 5 days a week, that is like a fucking huge disappointment myself. And the kind of goal that I have right now is to get back to that because of the value that it provides me, not just the physical benefits, but the psychological benefits, because I don't have habits outside of work or smoking weed and playing video games or watching TV. So getting back into the gym is a valid goal for me. And hopefully it transitions into other things like drawing or pursuing other potential business opportunities or just ideas.
Just that
I
thinking.
Have. Yeah, just yeah. Thinking outside. Yeah, exactly. Not because I told Nick this was when I don't smoke weed and I sit home by myself, I am just a busy body mind and can't not do anything. I can't sit here and play video games. I can do that maybe an hour a day as opposed to 2.5-3 hours a day. So for me, it is to release myself from the stranglehold that weed had on me to fill my time with other things. So hopefully, outside of working out, it transition or it's being fulfilled by other things. So, have you been going to the gym at all? What other activity have you had besides walking to the beach in the morning?
I do some legwork on the machines.
What machines?
Leg press, leg extensions,
or
Smith machine. What?
You go to the gym?
Yeah, I go to the gym.
Not the athletic clubs, right? A different gym?
Yeah, Montrose and Kedzie, hybrid.
So you're working out. That's good.
Yeah.
It's just legs, though.
Scott, like, listen, accountability. I'm very interested in becoming accountable to you, you being accountable to me, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what accountability do you want? What are you looking for?
Like,
have me hold you accountable for?
End of the day, like, you come here, you come back here, what? So, like, you don't have a regular schedule, so it's hard, but you come back here, end of the day, let's go to the fucking gym. Like, not, I'm not saying, I'm not getting a gym membership, but we can go to Ashley's place, fucking work out. We could fucking work out here, go on a bike ride, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. I already told you, bike ride is going to be out of the question in the next couple weeks because it's going to be
too cold. If you're a fucking politically correct puss.
Well, it's been warm out for how many fucking months and I still can't. Get out of here. I tried to hold you accountable.
Dude, I've been on a ton of bike rides.
I would come home every single day from work and ask you if you went on a bike ride. You said no.
For the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
No, for half a year. And you would do it whenever it was convenient or whenever you wanted to.
Yes.
And this is, I'm not throwing digs at you.
Throw digs.
For me, for you, because you're stuck in this house all day, you have very limited mobility. And based upon your diet sometimes, you do well enough sometimes with your keto, but you falter and it completely negates the benefits or the 100% progress that you 100%. Made. 100%.
Like, what?
I want you, it's not because, Nick can lose some weight and I want him to go to the gym so he can do that. It is more of the fact that your general health is something that concerns me, you and Daniel, or just me in general for all my friends. I want Daniel to go to the gym more. I want you to go to the gym more. I want Wally to go to the gym more. Anybody that's my parents, I want them to go to the gym more, work out, or do something to get active so that they can have the benefits of doing those things. And for you, right off the bat, is I'm not going to go to the gym. I will work out at home. And I said, working out at home is not something for me because going to the gym is an activity and it is part of the psychological.
It's like a ritual.
Mindset. Yeah,
it's
exactly,
like a ritual.
Yeah. So if that's not going to be part of the repertoire of what we're going to do to increase our interaction with each other, you being active, then we've got to do something else outside of that.
And we will do something else. I will talk to you offline about how we will be accountable to each other for not only like avoiding the whole mind, like not being too, what were you saying earlier? Where like you feel like you need to do something when you're like alone and stuff, as far as like keeping your mind racing.
Yeah, well, I was smoking weed, so I didn't.
Yeah, so like, yeah, so like avoiding that part of it, and just like doing things in replacement of that. And Dan, you know, we gotta get on top of that shit too.
I mean, have you been being consistent about your running, or yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's
so we did it for a few weeks, and Dan was tracking and sharing, but.
And then that's my biggest beef with you guys is I know you both actually like being active. And I know, obviously, that you guys have to spend 60, 70 hours every week dedicated to your work and your business. And I understand that there's limited time available for you to do those kind of things.
Even with that, there's like an hour a day.
I don't want you guys to sacrifice your health because of that. Because not, I don't want to say you're stubborn, but
you hit it. You hit the fucking button on the head or hit the fucking nail on the head because that's one of the reasons people fail at their professional careers is because they don't take care of themselves.
Yeah. And I've noticed definitely myself is like my mental state has been so for the longest time I've been always in a battle of like, listen, you're substituting being by yourself or doing something of value with I'm gonna smoke weed and I can fill 3 or 4 hours of my time just doing something that is completely a waste of time. For me specifically, at least, and you guys, so going to the gym is one of those things I can fill my time with because it's a place where I can gauge improvement in my life. I just generally feel better. And I know you guys, both of you guys, like I did when I was younger and even now still struggle with weight, you guys struggle with weight, and you would feel like, I know based on your past histories of you, when you go down these roads of physical activity and trying to monitor your health, that you feel generally so much better, as I think almost everybody does. And I just want you guys back into that routine of doing those things, so that you, the psychological benefits that might improve your outcomes of your work, and just your general mental health, is something I think we all should pursue. And I just want you guys to do the same thing.
I agree.
So, Willie, whether it's working out, or do you have a single hobby or anything that you do outside of work and possibly working out that generates some value in your life, whether it's reading or tugging on your pecker, or where are you actively pursuing any women on your dating apps? Are you in the social circle at all, or what?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, yes. Is that something that you're passively doing just to pass time, or are you doing it to engage yourself and possibly find a relationship?
You know, just trying to pad my numbers, you know, put some more notches on the totem pole. No, I mean, I'm just talking to, I'm talking to women trying to find a wife.
Now, are you doing that something that is like, are you doing it to the fullest extent that you could be doing that? Or is it just like, I'm going to go on Bumble and find a few girls that might talk to me, and then that's my level of engagement that I have?
It's actually, I mean, it's real easy for me, because I get like maybe like a match, if that, a week or every 2 weeks. So, you know, whoever's in the chamber, then that's pretty much what I do my time with.
Well, I think you're doing the right thing. Like, you're in a certain situation where, you know, you can't just go out and meet people. Although I wish you find your wife at a bookstore, even though all the bookstores have been shut down and closed and out of business, all this other stuff. But I just want to wrap up the podcast here today, and end it with the fact that the four of us have started this podcast several years ago. And the intention of the podcast was for us to hustle and to make things happen. I think all of us are making things happen. And I think we need to understand the fact that
revisit
the purpose of the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So let's keep each other accountable. Not by like setting random goals at the end of the podcast, but like keeping in touch throughout the week. And then we can talk about what we talked about throughout the week, about what we're trying to do. So, Waleed, if you want to wrap up the podcast, and then we can start fresh next week. Go for it.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Scott, for joining us. And hopefully we see you again very soon. Thank you all for listening. Be well, stay healthy, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Adios.
Bye.